everyone, and welcome back to the Android Central podcast. My name is Shruti Shaker, and I am the editor-in-chief here at Android Central, and I have my lovely friends, Jerry Hildenbrand. Hello, hello.
Howdy. How are you?
I'm doing good. How are you?
I'm doing really good because it's Friday.
It's Friday. And I've got Nick Sutrick with me. Hello, hello.
Hey there.
This is going to be fun because I mean, we normally record with four people, and I want to start doing these quickie little podcast episodes where it's just the three of us, and we can just hit up a couple of articles of note in the past week and just kind of go from there. So let's start. I feel like there'll be, I mean, we'll still have banter amongst us, I feel. We'll figure it out. But let's start with an article that you published less than 24 hours ago, Nick. It's titled, "The Honor Magic 6 Pro Camera Seriously Blows Me Away." And this was a new release device from Honor, the Honor Magic 6 Pro, if you don't realize that that's the name. there's like a lot of upgrades specifically with this phone. Nick, you mentioned that the upgrade factor is from the Falcon camera system, which, like you said, is a fancy name for a triple camera array powered by the smartest software Honor has ever developed. Talk to us a little bit about this specific camera. And I mean, it looks like you were really, really excited about it. And companies like Honor and, you know, other brands, they do really good with camera. So I'm very curious to hear what you have to say.
Yeah. So I will say that this year has been really interesting for smartphone cameras because I feel like, you know, up until this year, I have not liked a Samsung camera, probably ever, right? Like, there may have been a few phones that were better than others, but for the most part, I didn't care for Samsung cameras. That changed with the Galaxy S24 Ultra. I feel like this is probably the best camera on any Chinese phone that's out there right now. I think Xiaomi makes some other stuff maybe better in the video area, but this phone really was very impressive to me for a specific reason, and that's the reason that I usually love Pixel cameras, and that's motion capture, right? So, you know, one of my biggest hangups, again, with Samsung cameras for a long time has been that you try to take a picture of your kid or your pet or whatever, and typically you'll be kind of a little bit blurry, right? They just weren't the best for that. They were really good for other things, but they've always had a really hard time with that. And this year it's better than ever for Samsung, but this camera, the Honor Magic 6 Pro, captures a clear picture in every single test that I tried. Like, I was putting up against four phones in particular trying this. And, you know, typically I'll put them side by side. I'll tap the shutter button at the same time. I usually have my son jumping off the couch as the, like, sort of pseudo lab test, right? just to keep it similar between all of the other phones that I review. And in these tests, I'd have a phone like the OnePlus 12. It would get one good shot and one crappy shot. And then, like, the Galaxy S24 Ultra, it got two, like, mediocre shots, right? And both the Pixel 8 Pro and the Honor Magic 6 Pro got great shots every time. And I think the Magic 6 Pro actually did better because the overall image was cleaner. I think Google has been edging toward a little more noisy photos recently in order to capture movement, because when you're doing traditional photography methods, a lot of times you have to raise the ISO so that you can change the shutter speed so that things don't look blurry, and that ends up making your pictures or videos or whatever fairly noisy, right?
So without giving too much away from an upcoming editorial of yours, because we're going to be talking about that eventually, if you can give us like just a very quick sneak peek in answering this question, I'm very curious to know how the phone's display affected you, because we all know you suffer from PWM, and that has really affected the way that you are reviewing phones, but also like you know, being more outspoken about this condition and really holding companies accountable for the type of display that they use. But when you're doing a camera review, like, you have to be looking at your screen a lot, right? You're paying attention to that. You're trying to capture the right images. Again, without giving too much away from your editorial that you're going to be writing, how did that affect your experience when you were putting this article together?
So this display is very interesting, and that's part of why I have a broken out editorial coming up, because they do some really interesting things that I haven't seen before. But for the most part, I would say this is in like my top three most comfortable phones to use. So
wow, that's good.
Previously,
to know.
It's very good, especially given how good the camera is, because that's a huge problem with Pixels. Is like, the camera's great, but I can't use the displays for very long. They're just not great for my eyes. So this phone has been excellent. My previous favorite pick was the Motorola Edge Plus 2023. And then behind that, I would say the OnePlus 12 or 12R would be third place.
Now, is this going to be a phone that you are going to take out with you? Like, I know sometimes you like to have a secondary phone for camera, for taking photos specifically. Will this be that phone now?
I think I'm going to stick with this as my main phone.
And there's
a mix of things there. You know, we have the display is comfortable to use, the camera is fantastic, and Honor finally made the software usable. Because honestly, before this, I had the hardest time recommending Honor phones because I just hated the software. It was just not good. I don't really know what else to say about it. This has a couple of issues right up front where you have to disable power management features. You got to enable notifications on everything. Like, it's kind of the typical annoyance of phones that come from China. And Harish has an explainer for a lot of that stuff, because app stores work differently in China. So they make these, you know, types of back-end things a little bit differently on more China-focused OSs. But even being a global release, for whatever reason, you still have to do that on this. So that that kind of drove me crazy right off the bat. But once I figured that stuff out, it really has been a great experience. Just generally better than really any other Honor phone I've ever used.
Fair enough. Before we move on, Jerry, do you have any thoughts about what this editorial produced?
Two thoughts. They kind of don't go together very well, but one is, screw you, Huawei, for doing such stupid stuff to get banned in the U.S.
I know, because they have such good cameras. It's wild.
If the camera on this is as good as it is, remember, it was designed to work best with Huawei's own silicon that we don't get to see. We'll never get to see. And, you know, the next Huawei phone probably is going to have their chip and some of this camera in it, and it's going to be pretty doggone good. Yeah. And we won't get to buy one.
Yeah.
Yep. And I know back when the P30 Pro came out, I used the P20 Pro and the P30 Pro as my main phones for a long time. And that was another one. I was like, I put up with the OS because the camera was so good, right? Like, it was like, I can deal with this.
My last Huawei phone, because actually, funny enough, my primary device was a Huawei phone for like a considerable amount of time, was the Mate 20. The Mate 20 Pro. That phone is incredible. And I know that they had newer devices come out after that were just, you know, camera was just amazing. And I'm just genuinely sad that, you know, Huawei has put itself in this position.
All this got taken away from some shenanigans they did for equipment they make for AT&T and Rogers.
Exactly.
You know what? You all should have never done that, and we wouldn't be in this position. But okay, the second thing I think of is Google needs to stop trying to make everything better without spending any money. You brought up a really interesting point that some photos you take with a Pixel are starting to be a little more grainy than they used to be.
Sorry, can you repeat the statement again? I'm trying to process what you said.
Google needs to think about how, you know, to stop trying to fix everything without spending any more money.
Okay, I get what you're saying. Okay.
They are, I know one of their big concerns with some photographs is let's get them quickly. We don't want anybody to ever have to see, I know it's not the beach ball on Android, but they don't want people to see the spinning beach ball waiting for something to process. So that's going to do things like introduce a little more noise, a little mm-hmm. more graininess, mm-hmm. because they're not taking as much time processing it. And if they maybe spent a little bit of money on a better lens system, they wouldn't have to do that. So Google, think about that. Now the Honor Magic 6 has beat you.
Yeah.
You know what's actually interesting about this discussion with the Huawei interjected in there? Back when the Pixel 3 came out, I think was the same time frame as the P20 Pro, if I remember correctly. And I actually remember reviewing the two phones next to each other and going, the Pixel 3 really isn't that good anymore. Like I was really disappointed in Google's flagship that year for a number of reasons. And I remember the camera being one because it just got showed up so much by Huawei's phones at the time. And it's kind of funny that it's basically the same argument now. It's like, I feel like Google has kind of fallen behind a little bit in that regard compared to Honor or, you know, Huawei or Xiaomi or whatever.
Yeah. And that's also about the time I think Google really realized that if they want to keep on their current path that they were on,
right.
they're going to have to make their own silicone or make changes. Maybe you can say the Tensor isn't really their own because they don't manufacture it, but whatever.
Yeah, it's semi-custom.
It does things like photo processing better because of Google's input, and they really needed that. And that's about the time they realized that and got to work really hard.
Yes.
Totally.
For sure.
Okay, let's talk about the S24 Plus, which this article, I was like kind of surprised that these were the numbers, but okay, let's talk about it. The article is, the Galaxy S24 Plus is a hit, and I'm not surprised. Derek wrote it less than 24 hours ago. Basically, every global sales of the Galaxy S24 series are proving to be better than the Galaxy S23 series, with an 8% jump year over year. The Galaxy S24 Plus saw the biggest jump in sales compared to the S23 Plus, while the S24 Ultra dropped in sales despite having the largest share. The Galaxy S24 offers more RAM and a sharper display and is better equipped for on-device AI capabilities. This, I was very intrigued by, and I wonder if it's because the price point of the S24 Plus is less than the S24 Ultra, but it still has all the AI capabilities, or at least is going to eventually get all of the AI capabilities. And so people are like, well, why do I need to spend so much for the Ultra right. when I'm going to get all of this on a cheaper device? I'm assuming that's the case here.
Right. Yeah. And I think this actually fits in nicely with Michael's review. I think of the S22 Plus, right? When he talked about how that was kind of a really nice middle child, and mm-hmm. it doesn't fall into that ultra trap of putting all these features in there that you don't really need for an extra price, and, you know, not being so small and having such a small battery like the smaller model does, and you right. know, kind of screwing you in that regard. Like, this is really a nice size. It has a great size battery. It has more RAM. Like, it really fits in the middle very well. And in a year when Samsung increased the price...
Is it the same size as... Or is it... I guess it's a bit larger than the S24, like the baby?
Yeah, yeah. It's literally in the middle in every regard.
Okay. That's what I thought, yeah.
Pro tip, that's why they call it Plus, Shruti.
No, okay, get out of here. Get out of here. Okay.
Yeah, but I really do think the $100 increase in price of the Ultra is part of what made people go, maybe the Plus is fine. Maybe I don't need the Ultra, you know, like... That, well, we're also in like a small amount of money, you know.
We're also in like an economic downturn right now. Like, no one really wants to be spending that much
right.
money. But yeah, no, I think that factor kind of makes a lot of sense. And I wonder if this is the strategy Samsung sort of knew was going to happen.
Probably. I mean, I think for most people, the Plus has been the model to get for a long time. And it's really better than ever this year for a number of reasons. I think that the AI being on every model and not just the most expensive model like Google has been doing is a huge benefit for Samsung customers. And then this being in the middle of all the hardware stuff is just, it's just great. I don't know what else to say about it.
I do want to talk about that. We talk about that a lot, and I want to talk about that again. And I just, I'm all for it. Like, it's really cool. Like, everyone gets the opportunity to experience all the AI features. But, like, I also kind of find it weird that it's available on all devices. Like, from an economic standpoint, from, like, and a business standpoint, from Samsung's side of things, wouldn't you want to limit which AI features are going to which devices because you want to entice users to buy a specific device? I mean, I feel like that's a very normal thing to do.
I think Samsung specifically is focused on getting people to upgrade every year, which is why they have the trade-in programs that they do, because I would say generally their trade-in programs are better than anybody else's. You know, weird mail-in problems that people have had notwithstanding, I think the amount of money that they give you for last year's phone or even the year before is typically higher than most other companies would offer for trade-ins. And I think, you know, for them, it's more about making sure that year-over-year number stays, you know, at or above, you know, 1%, or I should say 101%, I suppose, versus anything else. I mean, of course they want you to buy the Ultra, but if they're going to raise the Ultra by $100 extra, I don't know how they're really going to push more people into that model, even with some AI stuff. Like, I don't think there's a strong enough argument there. And I think it's interesting that Google has been trying to do that with its phone, which I think the Pixel 8 Pro is $300 more than the smaller one, right?
But I also think, like, it doesn't really make a difference for Google. Like, we've kind of all three of us have discussed that it doesn't even matter about hardware for Google. Like, Google doesn't care about how many devices it sells or, like, you know, all of that. Like, for them, it's more so, like, they are the standard that you can build off of. They are going to produce certain products, and that's what you can upgrade or change within your devices. But then also, like, they're all about software. Like, that really is more their thing. So I don't really think it's a matter of, like, you're like, why did Google do this? I think it's more like they don't really care, and they just chose to, like, do it this way, right? I don't know. I feel like Jerry might have a better response to that.
Well, I mean, it's really important to remember that Samsung's phone division makes a ton of money, but they don't have to.
Right.
Samsung probably makes as much or more money selling displays, memory, all the stuff that's in every single phone you can buy.
And that's crazy.
Has Samsung parts in it.
Yeah.
And those are not high margin or high ticket items, but they're probably very high margin items.
Mm.
So that gives them a little bit of freedom to, yeah, we don't care. We want you to spend $1,300 on the Ultra, but, you know, even if you just spend $900 on the regular one, we're happy. Thanks for the cash.
Yeah, for sure. That makes sense. Okay, well, you know, good for you, Samsung. We're proud of you.
Yeah, Samsung is an absolute success story for businesses out there. You know, everybody talks Apple, or Google, or Microsoft. Samsung, to me, is one of the biggest success stories in business in the 20th and 21st century.
That's very interesting. I believe you that I can see that. I mean, the fact also is that they really are the main Android device that is hand in hand competing with Apple. So that goes to show that they are a very successful, company. So
if you have money in your pocket burning a hole in it and you want to buy a new phone and don't know what to buy, you're always good if you buy a Samsung.
Yeah,
phone.
That's actually a fact. I believe that. Okay. So I want to talk about some news that happened this past week that I think a lot of people are curious about. It has to do with TikTok, a little app, a little known app called TikTok that could potentially get banned by U.S. lawmakers. If you are not aware of what's going on, essentially the House of Representatives in the United States passed a bill with overwhelming fours or yeses, whatever you want to call it, to essentially ban TikTok, but giving them 6 months' time to find a viable company to buy them out so that they are no longer considered a China-based company. As you all might know, TikTok is owned by ByteDance. ByteDance is a China-based company, but the CEO of the company has, obviously there have been a lot of issues with, you know, content being stolen and you know, spied upon and given to the Chinese government. And so what the CEO of TikTok decided to do was to create a division in the US where all of the information that's housed in the US is held in the US and it is not given to China. However, there have been investigations and reports from the Wall Street Journal and other publications indicating certain instances where the relationship or the veil that is between TikTok USA and TikTok China is very porous in the sense that there is a possibility for information to be leaked and to actually be given to China and the Chinese government. And again, if you aren't aware, there is a law in China that if you are a China-based company and the government of China requests information from your company, whatever it may be, by law, you have to present the government with that information, which is where the crux of all of this concern comes from. It also comes from the fact that the U.S. does not like to have they don't like to not have control, right? Because TikTok is not a U.S.-based company, it is not able to control the behavior the way that TikTok, acts. And I have a lot to say about this, but Jerry, you wrote a fantastic article about this, and you titled it "Why U.S. Lawmakers Want TikTok Banned." There is so much to talk about here, but why don't you walk us through your article, and then I can spew my thoughts while you discuss that.
Okay, we can go through point by point, and you pretty much nailed them all, except we've skirted around the biggest one,
which was
China.
Okay, China. Yeah. I mean, we know this is a political thing. Let's be real.
Right. This is 90% political.
Yeah.
Because, and what really drives it home is, yes, in 2017, China passed a law that companies are compelled to support and cooperate.
Yeah.
And other assistance with any type of national intelligence work.
And just so you all are aware, this is essentially why Huawei got banned in Canada. It got banned in the U.S. because of this law. They are worried that there's a possibility of, you know, spying on phones. That's literally what that concern was.
Okay, but you need to understand the United States and Canada have that same law. It's just phrased differently.
Oh, okay. I did not know that. Okay.
Okay, let's use Google as an example.
Sure.
Because that's where we're Android Central. Google will give you a list at the end of the year of all the thousands and thousands and thousands of times the government compelled them to support and cooperate.
Oh, yes, yes, of course. Okay, that makes sense. That makes sense. Yes, 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 yes.
The thing with China makes a company agree before they build a product.
Right.
The United States makes a company aware that they need to retain data because we may force, you know, compel you to present it to us after you've
made
the product.
And just to be clear, that rule is put in place for, I mean, it could be for many different instances, but a very common instance is when there is a national security threat or if there is a mass murder that has taken place or whatever it may be to like try and get information to help with a case. That is, at least typically, that is what I am aware of.
That's a very, I mean, a very polarizing thing. I'm not going to say it's bad that a government can force a company to provide user data. On the other hand, I'm not going to say it's good.
Right.
Sometimes, unfortunately, it's necessary.
Yes, exactly. I agree.
And that's, I think the bigger problem the United States has with China is not that they can compel a company to provide that information, but the fact that it's China.
Right, exactly.
And if the data is in China, the United States can't compel that company to provide it to them.
Exactly. And also it's that it is because it is I was talking to a reporter about this because they wanted to talk to me about it. And the way I kind of like put it in my head is that, you know, a parent is not able to control the children that it gave birth to, a parent is able to control the children it gave birth to in the way that it can protect it, or it cannot, you know, it can understand what that child is doing because they are in the vicinity of where they are, versus a child's friend who decides to come over and you don't have the ability to control them and their behavior or what they do. So in a similar sense, the child or the parent here is the United States. The children are companies like Google and Meta. And then the children's friends here is TikTok, because again, TikTok is quote unquote a US based company, right? And so then the other question here is like, well, who, if they are forcing, you know, TikTok to be bought, is that like a very likelihood to happen? And I hope it happens, because I think there's so much more that could go wrong with a platform like TikTok to go away. And if they sell it, who is a viable option? Like, you know, we kind of talked Meta, I think Nick, you brought it up, how this would be an interesting possibility for Meta to buy it. But then there was also this notion that I brought up, which is, you know, maybe Google should buy the company, right?
And you know, it turns out some loser from the last administration, and I'm sorry, I'm not knocking the last president.
Gosh.
He's separate from the president. He was a very ineffective cabinet member.
Yeah.
He's the forerunner to buy it now.
Oh, gosh.
So some group he's heading. That's ridiculous. It's made it sound like it was all planned.
Right.
But anyway, what you said really ties into some other concerns that were brought up. Potential for manipulating the content. And, you know, that's a national security issue. We saw what can happen
mm-hmm.
when outside governments manipulate content
right.
in the 2016 election, and the effect on children's mental health.
Yeah.
Because this can be addictive
yeah.
to a kid. They just want to scroll through. And those, I think those are very valid points.
Yeah.
Those need more explanation or investigation. The problem is, let's say Meta mm-hmm. comes up and buys TikTok. Those issues will all go away. Nobody will care about them anymore.
I was literally going to say that. And then the question is, and we've talked about this, Jerry, so many times, should, you know, why, first of all, why aren't these companies held to the same level of scrutiny and, you know, accountability versus other companies? And they're not. Like,
no, they're not.
You know, and you know, they will get charged or whatever, but it's just like they get so much more leniency. And I find that so interesting and weird, because
yep.
companies like Google and Meta almost do the same type of stuff that TikTok does. And it's like,
sure,
like you're not holding these companies accountable.
It's exactly the same on, you know, in that regard. They use algorithms that manipulate what you see
mm-hmm.
and try to continue to make you want to see it.
Mm-hmm.
That's the whole goal of these, you know, user preference algorithms, show you what they think you want to click on.
So I have a question for you guys then. Let's say Meta or Google decides to buy one of these, or like, let's say one of these companies decides to buy TikTok. What are your thoughts about that? And also, like, a question that was posed to me by the journalist was, will this limit competition in the social media space? And my answer to that was that it would. But I'd love to hear what you guys have to say about that.
I don't think the solution is forcing a U.S. company to buy TikTok. I think the solution is stronger data privacy laws. Then it doesn't matter if the information isn't collected, China can't look at it.
Mm-hmm.
And better oversight of all social media.
Right. Have either of you ever seen The Social Dilemma on Netflix?
Yes, yes. That's
okay.
A great movie.
So I think, you know, regardless of whether 100% of that documentary is true,
mm-hmm.
the overlying narrative is that it doesn't really matter who owns your data, we already know that this data is and has been abused for a long time. Yeah. It's going to continue to be abused until something like Jerry said happens. Until we get something like GDPR or whatever you want to come up with, something that does a little bit better about making sure these companies are held accountable for where your data is stored, how it's used, etc., then I don't really think, you know, this whole dog and pony show really doesn't matter. Because, yeah, it can change hands, but like you said, this same thing's going to happen. The app's not really going to change. I mean, that's...
Well, I mean, if I understand that part fully and I agree with you. However, the app will change. If Meta decides to buy TikTok, it will either merge it and add it to Instagram Reels, and or if Google decides to buy it, it would merge it into YouTube Shorts. So there will be a change. It's just, it just goes back to what you were saying, like nothing's going to change, like in the sense of like accountability and holding these companies to the same level as TikTok.
Right. I think the only thing that would be a legit change, and the only thing that I feel like is actually like a concern in my brain when I think about the whole China equation, is that a foreign country would not be able to manipulate your viewing, you know, or the algorithm's handling
versus a U.S. company could. I get that.
Right. And I mean, yeah. U.S. companies obviously all have their own political agendas. Well, companies are people here, right? So
yeah.
And I'm sure other you know, countries have the same issues too, but you know, I think it is definitely more of a concern to me that another country could potentially manipulate that algorithm and show you some semi-believable conspiracy theory and potentially change your vote, mm-hmm. you know, or change the vote of thousands of people based on what they let you see on your social media account. And I mean, who knows? I don't want to get into it, but you get the point.
I think that's much more important than the Chinese government wants to weaponize your user data when you live 6,000 miles away in a country where they have no jurisdiction. So yeah. What? China, I would rather have China know about me than the United States, because China can't do anything about it.
Exactly. Yeah. I've never understood that narrative in terms of this, like, acting like people actually care about their digital privacy, because, I mean, last time I checked, nobody reads the EULAs. Like, I hate to say people don't care about their digital privacy, but their actions tell me they really don't.
Right. They don't. You can say it.
So, like, saying that the Chinese government is going to figure out, you know, what I planted in my garden last weekend because I posted it on social media is not really of any real concern to me, right?
Right.
So that is not a good argument. The other argument is, I think, a lot more, has a lot more weight, especially after 2020 and people here went crazy over the election being stolen and all that other stuff, right? Like, that is a legitimate argument that a lot of people think about.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that could be used to successfully draw this narrative to where they want rather than what they're currently saying.
Right. And that's a really good example, because you're allowed to believe whatever you want to believe. If you believe that the election was stolen, more power to you. But I think I'm positive there were a lot of people that didn't have much of an idea what to believe, and they were just inundated by one side or the other telling them what to believe.
Yes.
Over and over and over, and that's what they ended up believing.
I guess the only last thing I would say about this, and I want to move on because I think there's a lot to be said about this, but I think the only thing that kind of concerns me the most, again, this is coming from a person who really loves TikTok, but also very much understands the laws around social media and all of that, but also is a content creator as well. With, like, again, like, it, this doesn't affect me because I'm so small, but it affects a lot of people who use TikTok as their livelihood. And I had expressed this during one of our team meetings, which is, this is such a political conversation that the greater good is being overlooked, which is the conversations that are being had on TikTok, the advocacy that's being had on TikTok, the learnings that are had on TikTok. Look, I fully understand the concerns that social media has, especially on the younger generation, especially on young girls, especially on, you know, diets and the way you look and just bad mental health. Like, I fully agree to that. But there's also a really beautiful side of TikTok that has fostered amazing conversations, that has revealed amazing communities. And we lost that when Elon Musk bought Twitter. Like, fact of the matter is, like, that's the truth. Like, no one uses Twitter or X, whatever you want to call it, the way that it normally used to be used when it was Twitter. And we're going to lose that with TikTok. And that is something that really bums me out. And that is, if you want to respond to that, that's fine. But that's all I have to say. That makes me, it just makes me really sad.
You may be a little bit premature here. I don't think TikTok's going to get banned.
I don't either. I don't.
We use
I don't
the word
think.
Ban because that's what you guys search for.
Yes.
So
yes.
That's what
exactly.
has to be what we say. But what's going to happen is another company's going to have to buy TikTok. And that's good. It won't TikTok won't go away. Millions of people won't lose their livelihood. The content that Shruti was talking about that is helpful and brings joy to people will still be there. That's bad because once an American company buys it, everyone stops caring about all the bad things that are happening beside the good.
Exactly. Yeah. Anyways, c'est la vie. But yes, I agree. Ban is just a term that is used because you guys search for it. But yes, I do not believe a ban is going to take place. I just think that there's going to be a lot of changes that takes place. And I don't necessarily know if that is a good thing. But, you know, time will tell. We'll see what happens.
Well, we can be pretty confident it's not going to be. Nothing's good anymore.
That's so depressing. On that note, let's talk about Apple. Despite being Android Central. No, I'm just kidding. Actually, we should talk about Apple because this is a very interesting piece of news and I would like to hear what you guys have to say about it. So there was a news article that was published not too long ago by us, and it was called Apple's Latest AI Acquisition Might Give Google Gemini Some Serious Competition. So essentially, Apple has apparently acquired Ontario-based... Ontario, what up? If you didn't know, I'm based in Toronto. Apple has apparently acquired Ontario-based startup Darwin AI, indicating its entry into the generative AI race. Darwin AI specializes in AI for visual inspection of manufacturing components and has developed technology for making AI systems smaller and faster. The purpose behind Apple's acquisition of Darwin AI remains unclear, but it could lead to enhancements in AI features for iOS 18. This is super interesting to me because I was very curious to know when Apple was going to get into the mix of AI, considering two of the biggest companies in the tech space have some form of AI, Google, Microsoft. I mean, you'd think Apple would do something, and we all talked about it for so long. What are your thoughts here about this?
I'm very glad to see this. I know, I don't know if it was I think it was last year, Apple launched that thing where you can customize Siri's voice and make it sound like you, which, you know, is definitely, I don't remember if it uses just on-device AI or if it's cloud-based, but I feel like that was their biggest type of, like, in-your-face AI stuff yet. And it's really interesting to see them do this because this year's MWC was full of, you know, we're using this AI. It's only on device. We'll put it in airplane mode and show you that it still works. Like, you know, that push this year, I think, is really important. And I can't remember if we've talked about this on the podcast or, you know, in our Slack chats or whatever. But I think the biggest problem with Samsung's Galaxy S24 AI is that 80% of the things require cloud connectivity, right? Whereas some of these other phones that are coming out right after the S24 are like, oh, we can do everything on device and it's not a big deal. So having that get pushed more for a privacy, I guess, narrative is definitely beneficial. I do wonder, I don't know, because we also talked about how Samsung was sort of genius for doing Galaxy AI the way they did because it could potentially give them another source of revenue in the future. Like, pay for Galaxy AI every month, you know, 10 bucks or whatever, and you'll get all the new phone features without having to buy a new phone kind of concept,
I think,
right?
we also talked about how Google would potentially be doing that as well.
Right, exactly. So I like both avenues there, but I feel like if Apple is going to push it this way, it's going to be good because we already have companies on the Android side doing this, and I think it will only further entrench them in that concept. So we'll have a very clear delineation between phones that use this as a service to give you more features over time versus phones that are just like, hey, everything stays here, it doesn't go anywhere else. If that's what you care about, buy these. And mm-hmm. I always like that type of thing because it helps make a purchase more clear when there's 1,000 different phones launched every year.
Yeah, for sure. I really am curious to know what Jerry has to say about this, because I feel like you have a lot on your head and when it comes to this.
A couple things. First off, if a lot of headlines, and ours alludes to it, is that this should make Google worried. No, if Google wanted this company, they'd have bought it years ago. I mean, Google should be worried about any competition, but this isn't anything extra that, oh my God, this is the end of Google AI. Don't read that into these headlines.
I don't necessarily think that at least, or I don't know about other headlines, but I don't think ours does, because
no, but some do.
Right,
I just
right.
want to throw that out
yeah,
there.
Yeah.
This doesn't mark the end of anything on the phone
no,
you just bought.
Exactly. And I actually genuinely believe that this, if it is going to go in the direction that we think it's going to go into, it's going to provide good competition that is necessary.
Yes, it's going to make it better, not worse.
Yeah.
And I'm not big for all this AI stuff. We each have the things we like. There are ways I'd like to see software teams invest their time and money differently than all this AI that is still a lot of gimmick. Maybe it won't be in the future, so they know what they're doing. But this is, it's about time. I mean, I literally wrote an article that Apple has to do something like this last month.
Yeah.
Because they were falling so far behind. And that's just not good.
Is this their area of expertise though? Like, I
no,
think that's something.
It's not.
That, well, and that's what I was thinking, right? Because at the end of the day, Apple is more of a quote unquote lifestyle brand, but also it focuses more on hardware versus the software. That's why no one, who the heck uses Apple Maps and Apple Music? I'm sorry, who uses that? But it's interesting that they're trying to get into this. If it goes back to what we're talking about that they're trying to do, I find that a little bit out of pocket for them. It doesn't make sense to me, you know?
I think Apple has to get on this bandwagon.
Mm.
Because, yes, they are a lifestyle brand first and foremost, but eventually enough people are going to see what Samsung can do, and they're going to say, hey, this Samsung phone is a whole lot better than we were told it is.
Mm-hmm.
That some people are going to start buying them if Apple does nothing.
Right.
And I just don't see Apple sitting back and doing nothing to prevent that, because they're more than capable.
Oh, absolutely.
And they have the money.
Yeah.
So I think this was a really smart move. And one final thing that I couldn't help but think when I saw this news, this company is not, they don't just do cool phone AI tricks. They do things like, I saw something, they can scan x-rays and look for damage done by COVID-19. They scan tiny little parts that they use to build things with and make sure there's no defects in the parts. Apple is a company that, even if they don't build them in some garage in Cupertino, they are first and foremost a hardware manufacturer who could benefit from the stuff that Darwin AI already does.
Well, let's be real. They are a Canada-based company. Hello.
Yeah. I, you know what? I think, aren't they, don't they have a big deal in the university at Waterloo?
Probably. I wouldn't be surprised. That's where
I think they're big, you know, big Canada research. If you go through the companies that are.
I mean, I wouldn't be surprised because we have a Google HQ in Waterloo, actually, because that's where a lot of engineers end up. They graduate and they actually end up working at Google there. So yeah, I'm not surprised by that at all. I was gonna ask like where this was based because it just said Ontario and my mind immediately went to Waterloo because I knew that's probably
and I know I read something about you know the university down at Waterloo in regard to Darwin AI, so I'm pretty sure that that's where they're from. But I like this acquisition because the company already does things that benefit Apple. The company has people that Apple will need if they want to move into, and I hate to use this word, gimmick phone trick AI, but that's where we're at now. We won't be that way in the future, so don't hate me. But, you know, if Apple wants to move in that direction, they need some of these people, and I think Apple realizes that eventually they're going to have to move in that direction. So this makes perfect sense on all fronts.
Yeah, for sure. Definitely. Okay. That being said, Nick, do you want to add any last words? If not, I am good to do my favorite portion of this podcast.
Nope, let's do it.
Who wants to go first? Let's talk about the things that made us happy this past week. Who wants to go first?
Can I do something stupid and lame? But it was 70 freaking degrees here. And it's 68 degrees here today.
It's so funny that you said that. I don't think that's stupid at all, but the weather change makes a huge difference. But we'll get to that in a second when I say my thing. But yeah, no, I think that's a totally fine thing to say. I love that. The weather is better.
I'm one of these people who does better in life when it's outside. I hate being cooped up.
Yeah.
The nature of my disability keeps me extra cooped up when the weather is this nice and I can move my big dumb ass outside on the back porch and work. I am so happy.
I love it.
And I came in today to do the podcast, but can you guess where I've been the past 2 days?
Outside.
Yes.
Fair enough. I totally get that. I don't think that's a stupid thing to say at all. Nick, do you feel the same way?
I was going to say, it's funny because we actually had to turn our air conditioning on last night because it was like 74 in the house and it's too hot for me.
Yeah.
So I had to turn it down a little
bit. No, that's the same. We are having the same situation. Like we go, you know, Canada, we go into the minuses and like it was hot last night, dude.
Yeah. And I don't know if this is actually early for this. I feel like there's always like that one day you got to turn it on. And you're like, oh, I don't want to turn it on in March, you know, but it's just one night. It's going to be 48 here again in like 2 days. So whatever.
Shut up.
I said here. I didn't say there. You might be far enough away where it's different.
No, don't just stop talking about that. It's always going to be good.
All right. That's fine. Now I forgot what I was going to say.
I'm sorry.
No, it's fine. It's not a big deal. If I think of it, I'll say it.
Okay, well...
Oh, yes, I remembered. Well. Sorry. Should I go?
Go.
All right. I have not been doing D&D for, I don't know, half a year. It just hasn't made sense with my schedule. And my group is doing a new campaign, and it's going to be 100% remote, which I like doing D&D in person. I don't do a whole lot of friends outings, but... it's a pain to go out at like 8 at night and stay out till late. And I'm not a night person. So when they told me it was 100% remote, I was like, yeah, I think I'll do it. Because I don't have to go anywhere. But I get to do D&D with my friends again. So it's nice.
That's amazing. I love that. That really makes me happy. And I like to hear that. Okay, the things that made me happy. Well, one, yes. I mean, look, I'm a winter gal. I am fully a winter and fall gal because I get very sweaty and also I have very bad allergies. So for me, springtime is a bust. I hate spring. It is the worst season for me. I'm physically like not doing well. And then summer, I mean, I don't do good with the heat. I don't like it. I don't gel well with it. However, we've been getting an abnormally past couple of days of good weather and it's warm enough and that we don't need our big jackets. And the other day I walked with my partner, with Jiggy, our dog, and we went on a really long walk, and it was so sunny, and it just, oh my God, it felt so nice. Like the sun on you, I always forget how wonderful the sun makes you feel and how energized you feel, but that was really amazing. But yeah, hardcore, I'm not looking forward for summer. I don't like the heat. I can't, no, absolutely not. But apart from that, I mean, I for the first time, I cannot think of what is making me happy this past week. I am currently reading a really, really good book. It's called Piglet. I don't know if it's released in Canada or North America yet, but essentially it's about a woman who is about to get married to her husband, and she learns of some secrets, some truths about him. And the question is she going to end up marrying him, and also will it make her spiral into old habits that she had when she was a young woman? It's really, really fascinating. Yeah, it's really fascinating. It's very much character driven. I think it is classified as a literary fiction, which basically means that it focuses more on character development and the way a character is written. Really, really good writing. It's super easy to read. I'm really enjoying it. And so if you want to read it, you should. If any of you have watched the movie Black Swan with Natalie Portman in it, it has similar vibes to that. It's a very unique book. I'm enjoying it thoroughly. So that's where I'm at with my reading. That's all I have. You know, I love working here. I love you guys. You guys make me happy. That's what made me happy this past week. And we're back to a good, regular, hopefully, cross our fingers, cadence for publishing the podcast. With that being said, wherever you guys are, thank you so much for listening to us, whether it's in the morning, afternoon, or night. We truly, truly appreciate you taking the time and listening to us. And we will talk to you guys really soon. Bye.